going on, everybody? Welcome to the second ever episode of Mean Streets, powered by FTN. I'm your host, Chris Meany. Thanks so much for taking the time to hang out. Hopefully, you're having a phenomenal weekend as we're just hours away from week six in the NFL. And if you can believe it, they brought me back for a second episode. Mean Streets not yet canceled. I'll take that as a W. Jokes aside, I really appreciate absolutely everybody who reached out to me, congratulating me, thanking me on the show, and saying that they enjoyed the first show. I had a few people, not even football fans, say that they watched the entire show, whether they were lying or not. They said that they subscribed and that they will continue to watch. So I consider that a win. I told people on the first episode that I'm here to help you guys win some cash, help you out in your seasonal leagues and DFS, betting, you know, help pay the bills. But if I can just give you that little bit of a distraction and from your everyday lives, it is 2020 after all, not the best of years. And if I can give you that distraction, I would consider that a win. So I just want to thank everybody who reached out, whether it was a text, you know, a comment on the YouTube page, subscribing to the YouTube page, sending me an email showing that they subscribed to the YouTube page. Your name is in a hat, and I will be giving away the FTN Fantasy Football Platinum Package in just moments. So there was a lot of people who did that, and I'll be honest, I was blown away. I didn't know exactly how the first episode would go, I'll be honest with you. Not that I was discouraged to do this show. I really wanted to do this show. I want to do this show. I'm looking forward to Mean Streets, and I have a few ideas and how I can make this show great, and I'm welcoming your feedback and things that you'd like to see on this show and things maybe you just don't care for and that you don't want to see on the show. And I, like I said before, I want this show to be about you guys, but I'm overwhelmed with the support. It had been a few years since I've been in front of the camera, so it had taken some time. I'm still kind of adjusting here and just trying not to ramble on and just give you guys, you know, some good plays and some good advice. So thank you so much for all the feedback. It didn't go unnoticed. I'm still reaching out to a few people, so if I haven't gotten back to you, I will. Just thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And I want to give away this package in a little bit, but I just want to just ask one thing of people, if they can please, if you guys can please subscribe. If you're listening on iTunes and Spotify and iHeartRadio, you know, I'd really appreciate it if you just jump on over to our YouTube page, just quickly subscribe, smash the like button, as my buddy Pat Mayo says, and just leave a comment, just a little comment. Maybe it's a fantasy player that, you know, you're unsure of on your roster. And I see all the comments from episode one, and I will get to them on the YouTube page as well. I haven't yet. I will talk about them on today's episode. And I'll also get to them on the YouTube page in case you didn't have the opportunity to listen or watch episode number two. So I will get to those questions a little bit later on in the show. But if you can just maybe subscribe, show me that you subscribed, send that email over to meanstreetsftn@gmail.com, and I'll put your name into the draw, and I'll be giving away a betting package, an NFL betting package over at ftnbets.com, and also giving away an NFL DFS package over at ftndaily.com. So don't be discouraged if your name is not drawn here. I know there was somebody who sent me a screenshot subscribing to every single platform. I may or may not have put your name into the draw a dozen times. Jokes aside, I didn't do that. It wouldn't be fair. But if you don't win, you're still going to be in the draws to come. And you know, the next episode will be drawing for the FTN betting package. And then the episode to follow that one next week will be FTN Daily Package. I'll be giving one away as well. So please, it means so much if you can just subscribe, smash that like button, leave a comment, and show me that you subscribed. And I love the screenshots too, by the way, all the faces here. I didn't even need to do that. And you guys were still able to screenshot a funny looking picture of me. I think somebody said I tried to grab a good screenshot. You're too nice. I know somebody out there, I think it was a Mark Burnett, Mark or Mike, sorry, my bad, but definitely Burnett. I think it was Mark who screenshotted my face like, and I'm here for that. I love that. I'm all about it. So I appreciate all the support. We're still going here, episode two. This show is going to typically be Monday to Friday, and I'm going to hammer that point home now. Monday to Friday. Monday's show will be a little bit later on as I get to some injury news. I want to give you the freshest news as possible and just tee you up for Monday Night Football and get you set for waiver wire week. This is not always going to be football, as I mentioned. It's going to be heavy football over the first few episodes, but I'll get into hockey, and as baseball, you know, is winding down, but it picks back up, and basketball picks back up, and, you know, NASCAR, esports. We have a guy, Josh Gross, who just seems to win all of the money. betting WNBA, and he's been very successful. And he also is very successful betting tennis, very more successful than I've ever seen anybody betting anything, to be honest with you. So there's just so many bright minds at FTN, and we will dive into some of those bright minds and have them on this show and dive into other sports as we get going here on some of the episodes. But this will just be me solo today. The reason I'm coming at you here on this Saturday is because I kind of dropped the ball yesterday. I'll be honest. I did turn the big 3-5. The hips were really feeling it this morning. Very professional of me to come in and come at you this late on a Saturday and not on that Friday. But I really just wanted to give away this package and have you have this package and have the rankings for myself and Jeff Ratcliffe and Brad Evans and Derek Brown and Ryan Noonan and have all the access to all of these articles just before week 6 started. So let's get to that. Again, as I draw, I got this this Angels hat. The losers can't even make the playoffs with like basically everybody making the playoffs. Like over 50% of the league make the playoffs and the Angels can't even make the playoffs. Are you kidding me? I'm not bitter at all. But I will be giving away this FTN Platinum package, which you'll just have access, as I mentioned, to all the rankings. We have a start and sit tool. You have the chat. That's probably the best part. Like, yeah, you're going to get the rankings from all of us in the industry over at FTN. Actually, there's two things. The best part is, let's be honest, the content from Jeff Ratcliffe and Brad Evans, both studs in this industry. And, you know, they write phenomenal stuff. So you're going to have access to their articles, but you're going to have access to like chats with them, chats with us. Anytime you have a question, you can tag an expert, tag your favorite expert. We're going to be there for you to answer those questions before kickoff on Thursday, before kickoff on Sunday. So the Discord chat is absolutely bumping and you're going to get just, you know, the opinions from several of us, which will hopefully help you make a decision. And, you know, the chat is active and there's a lot of just, you know, not bright FTN minds, but FTN subscribers are absolutely in tune. So it's been a great discussion over the 5 or 6 weeks here in the NFL. And, you know, you're just going to get a lot of access to the articles and the podcasts and just absolutely everything from a season-long standpoint over at ftnfantasy.com. So with this said, I know it's the drum roll has gone on too long. It's like, hurry up and draw already. I will just say one more time, screenshot subscribing to our YouTube page, and then just show me that you screenshotted by emailing me over at meanstreetsftn@gmail.com so we can give away a couple other packages. So here we go. Let's draw it. I got more than I expected, not going to lie. Not that I didn't think that this show would get a few views. Got more than I expected. So a few names, I'll be honest. I took out a few names that were just close friends of mine. I can't be giving away packages to close friends of mine, but I will put you in draw number 2 and draw number 3 and see how many draws that we get here. All right, so the winner of the FTN Fantasy Football Platinum Package goes to D-Gram. D-Gram. Congratulations, D-Gram. The Fantasy Football Platinum Package is yours. I will be in touch with you, but what I need you really to do is just, you know, make an account over at FTN and then just tell me what email it is. I'll reach out to you and touch base with you and get you hooked up and set up with that Fantasy Football Platinum Package. But everybody out there, they just want to, make an account. There's lots of free tools. As I mentioned in episode 1, there's a ton of free tools and it's all in one place. And that's one thing that I love. There were several reasons why I wanted to join FTN. And as I said in episode 1 as well, it was mostly because of, you know, Kevin Adams and Elliot Chris and Brad Evans and Jeff Ratcliffe and Stefano, just a lot of just unbelievable bright minds that I wanted to be part of, but also just their vision. Yeah, we have three sites and ftnfantasy.com and bets.com and daily.com. But everything is all in one place and you don't have to go searching for air yards here and targets there and red zones targets here and volume report and pace of play and who's blitzing and which teams are allowing pressure. It's all in one place. And a lot of the tools that I just mentioned are free. We have an unbelievable parlay calculator and prop shot. You don't have to jump around this book. Like how many times have you been on a Sunday morning and like, oh, this spot I can bet this and this spot I can bet that, but this book is giving me this odd and that book's giving me that odd. You just type in Jamison Crowder and see his props and then see where the best bet MGM -110. Okay, that's better than, for example, FanDuel Sportsbook or DraftKings Sportsbook. Excuse me, all the best odds will be right there available for you. And it's so cool. It almost just made me choke. And I just can't get over how unbelievable FTN is and what we're striving for here. So congratulations to DGram. Everybody else who didn't win, you're going to have a chance to win. I'm going to be giving away other packages. So thank you so much for subscribing. And please head on over to our YouTube page and just hit that subscribe button. And with that, we are on our way. Feels weird that there was no Thursday night football game, right? I don't know what you guys did with yourself on Thursday, but I was lost. I struggled. I don't care who plays. I really honestly don't care. I know a lot of people complain. Oh, Jags and Dolphins. Like, I am here for whatever. I just want to watch some Thursday night football. And maybe it was an opportunity for you to spend some time with a loved one, catch up on an old show. I dropped the ball. I heard some footsteps coming downstairs, and I quickly turned on an old random Thursday game. And Thursday, I thought there was no football. Nope, there's always football on Thursday, sweetheart. Always football on Thursday. So I dropped the ball there. Hopefully you did not, and you were able to spend some time with your loved one. But I'll be honest, I missed Thursday night football. So week six, just hours away from kickoff here. And let's get into some news and notes. I mentioned in the last episode, Lev Bell. I think I narrowed it down to maybe three teams. I don't think I called KC. I may have called Chicago or Miami, but KC was, they were in my three. Apparently they were in Bell's three as well. Obviously he signed there, but Miami and then Buffalo reportedly the other team. I'd imagine almost every team they were kicking the tires on Lev Bell. I mean, how could you not? I don't take anything away from his time with the Jets. Honestly, I know he took the year off and he was dinged up. And I mean, this guy saw stacked boxes. Sam Darnold had mono at one point, and he was dealing with poor quarterback play. They don't really have any weapons. Adam Gase is calling the shots. Are you kidding me? Now he gets to go to one of the brightest NFL minds that we've ever seen in Andy Reid and go play with a quarterback in Patrick Mahomes with weapons like Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, and Mecole Hardman, who's trending up with Sammy Watkins sidelined. And this is a huge win for Kansas City. Not that they are, like, I heard somebody say that they were legit Super Bowl contenders now. Thanks, bud. They won the Super Bowl last year. They're one of the best teams I've ever seen on offense. And they're probably only going to get better now with Lev Bell. So don't take too much away from what Lev Bell has been able to do, or what hasn't been able to do over the past, you know, 15, 20 games or so. This is a huge win if you're a Lev Bell owner, and it's a loss if you're a Clyde Edwards-Helaire owner. Let's be honest. It really is. You have basically one more game with him being an RB1 as Lev Bell is going to be cleared to practice next Wednesday. So you still have this weekend for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. How do I see this backfield shaping up with them two in it? I would say, you know, over time, it's probably going to be Lev Bell getting, you know, at least 60% of the touches. They could run some two RB sets. They can both be on the field at the same time. But I think Lev Bell is going to be the goal line back there. And I think he's going to be on the field majority of the time. He is better than Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire is just a rookie. Maybe we expected too much from him after that phenomenal week one performance. I wrote him up a couple weeks ago as a buy low candidate because I just heard some rumblings that the fantasy industry was fed up with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You know, especially with his usage inside the red zone, he wasn't really doing much. Maybe that was part of Kansas City wanting to acquire Le'Veon Bell. Because just looking at what Clyde Edwards-Helaire has been able to do inside the red zone, of all the backs with 15 carries, he's the only one with zero touchdowns. 10 carries from inside the 10, negative 1 yard. 7 carries from inside the 5, negative 3 yards. I know a lot of that was week one against J.J. Watt, and, you know, that's just going to happen. Any running back would have probably been stuffed by J.J. Watt. He really blew up a couple of those plays. But 3.7 yards per carry since week one, 206 yards on 56 carries. That's outside the top 20 running backs over the last 4 weeks. So that's why I kind of wrote him up as a buy low. But now with Lev Bell signing there, you're not buying low. I don't think you should. Maybe Clyde Edwards-Helaire owner, maybe they want to just get rid of him. This is the week if you are a Clyde Edwards-Helaire owner and you're looking around your league and he was just, you know, you probably drafted him early as your RB1 or your RB2, but you have some other RBs on your squad that you like. You could maybe flip him now to somebody who's very, very desperate. Check in on the Melvin Gordon owner. Gordon's not going to play this week. You know, Alvin Kamara on bye. you could maybe, you know, Austin Eckler, Saquon, CMC, they didn't get Mike Davis. There's a possibility out there. I don't want to say that there isn't, because every league is completely different. So there's a possibility that you don't have a running back this week. And, you know, if you can just get something for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but at the same time, I just don't want you to give him away, because I still think that he could be valuable as a low NRB2 or as a flex play. But I do feel like, you know, when Bell gets incorporated into this offense and maybe it takes a couple weeks, that he's probably going to get the goal line work and he's going to get about 70% of the touches. I'd say at least 60, right? A 60-40 split. He doesn't really need a lot of touches in this offense to be productive in it. I don't think he's the same Lev Bell from years past with the Steelers and, you know, being an RB1 and catching 70-plus balls. But Clyde Edwards-Helaire was catching a few balls out of the backfield, so I don't think that those catches will all go to him, but he could get a third down role, and in a PPR league, he could be a flex play. So I'm not saying to get rid of him, just give him away. But maybe you can give him away this week and to somebody who's super, super desperate. The big takeaway for me is that it's a win for Bell owners. It's a win for the Chiefs. And it's a little bit of a loss for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I view him as a flex play moving forward in PPR leagues. Some other news and notes I'll get to. Chris Godwin's going to return for the Bucs. He missed the past couple games with a hamstring injury. He practiced in full on Friday. Mike Evans is dealing with an ankle injury. He's questionable to play. I do expect him to suit up. And sticking with the Bucs, Leonard Fournette is a game time decision. I know he was active the last time the Bucs played, but he didn't really touch the field. I wouldn't play him if he is going to be active. I still think it's going to be Ronald Jones. Ronald Jones is somebody that I would consider selling high if you had the running back depth, but I like what I've seen from him from the past couple weeks, so I view him as a top 20 RB this week, even if Leonard Fournette does suit up. AJ Green, quote-unquote, good to go, whatever the hell that means. It's not a great matchup. I wouldn't play him. He's, like, ranked in the 60s for me at the wide receiver position. If he does have himself a good game, you got to go ahead and flip him. Julio Jones is going to play, apparently. He was taken off the injury report on Friday, despite not really getting full practices in. You know, I think if you have Julio Jones, you have to play him. There's always that fear that he leaves the game like last time in the second half. And, you know, he just has a disappointing performance. He's given zeros before, but his upside is tremendous in this game against the Vikings. A total that we could get to 60 points. So I don't have Julio Jones ranked as a top 10 wide receiver. I have him as like a wide receiver 2, right around top 15. I think you just have to play him. Devontae Adams is going to return for the Packers. Apparently, he was able to play a couple weeks ago. I know he took to social media and said apparently other people know his body more than his. So he felt like he was good to go the last time the Packers played. So you can dial him up with confidence here this week. He is going to be good to go, despite a tough matchup, really, against the Bucs. OBJ, illness. He was questionable all week. Last I saw is that he is going to play. The illness, I don't know. Apparently, it wasn't COVID related, and I don't know if it had anything to do with poop, but OBJ is going to suit up against the Steelers, and they've been giving up some big plays. I like the Steelers' defense, but they've been giving up some big plays through the air, so I think OBJ is somebody that you can start with confidence this week as a wide receiver too. And sticking with the Brownies, Baker Mayfield dealing with a rib injury. I think he's going to play. He's questionable. He says Mamba didn't raise no wuss. That remains to be seen, Baker. I wouldn't play Baker anyways. Like, as a second quarterback in a super flex, sure, but he's a low end. I think he's ranked outside the top 20 for me. QB 21. So just right there. Super flex play, really, only. And just maybe if you're in a 16-team dynasty league like myself and you don't have any other options, you can roll out Baker. Deontay Johnson back. He is ruled out, so it could be another Chase Claypool weekend. Or maybe it's a Juju Smith-Schuster weekend. We'll get to him in just a little bit. Sammy Watkins is ruled out, so Mecole Hardman, as I mentioned earlier, I believe he is trending up. So I think he should be owned. And you could probably start him this week, too. If you're just, you know, you have some of these wide receivers who can't go, like a DeSean Jackson, I'm assuming you don't have Alshon Jeffrey. Both of those guys are ruled out. Could be another Travis Fulgham week, even though it is a tough matchup. But no Dallas Goedert there again. And really, Zach Ertz has just been double-teamed and bullied at the line. So that really only leaves Miles Sanders catching balls out of the backfield, Fulgham, and then Greg Ward if you are super desperate at the wide receiver position. DJ Chark is another guy that you could have that may not be able to play this weekend. He is questionable with an ankle injury. I gave a lot of love to Laviska Shenault in the first episode of this show. His ownership is still far too low. He's a top 30 wide receiver for me this week, for sure. And if there's no Chark, he's a top 25 wide receiver. More on him in just a little bit. And then John Brown has the knee injury. He returned to practice on Thursday and Friday, practiced in full and then limited on Saturday all of a sudden. With that Bills game being on a Monday again, oh, actually, it was on a Tuesday this past week, John Brown could have been in your lineup. He may have given you the zero. You need to find other options. You can't take a zero from John Brown. You got to find other options. Dalvin Cook, groin injury, he's out. Alexander Mattison is in for a big week. I view him as a top five running back this week. CMC, obviously not going to play this week, but could be out until week eight. There's some reports that it could be a couple more weeks. I mentioned Mike Davis is a sell high candidate, so you have a couple more weeks to move on from him, or maybe you just want to keep him. They will run some two running back sets, I think, but when CMC gets fully healthy, he's probably going to get a good 90% of the snaps. I really do feel that way. And then you're into week 10 or 11 with just Mike Davis on your bench. If you could flip him for a guy, I know we had a question, FTN, I think I brought it up last episode, was David Johnson. It doesn't seem ideal right now. Like, I would rather have Mike Davis and David Johnson over the next couple weeks. But like I said, week 10, week 11, week 12, you're going to want the 15 to 20 touches from DJ as opposed to five from Mike Davis. And Mike Davis has been phenomenal in that offense. It's just Christian McCaffrey is one of the best players in the NFL. Other news and notes, Melvin Gordon is out. He is not going to play. He's got an illness, so it apparently isn't anything to do with the DUI or COVID. I think reports indicate that he is dealing with strep throat, but he's been ruled out. So Philip Lindsay could have been plucked off the waiver wire this week, and I think you have yourself a rock solid RB2. I have him right now ranked, give you a little sneak peek. I got him RB20. Got him RB20 just behind Antonio Gibson, David Johnson, Miles Gaskin, Ronald Jones, and Devontae Freeman, and then, you know, just be, you know, Drake, Edmonds, Daryl Henderson, AP, James White, Damian Harris. So he's in right around that range. It's not the best matchup against the New England Patriots, but this is going to be his backfield. We'll probably get a little bit of Royce Freeman sprinkled in there as well, but Lindsay's got 1,000 yards in each of his first two seasons in the NFL. He's caught in the ball out of the backfield. He has shown that he can do that, so he could be a guy that gets about 20 opportunities, and that's RB2. There's not a lot of running backs that are getting, you know, 20 opportunities. So with Melvin Gordon sidelined, I think you can dial up Philip Lindsay. And there's no Noah Fant this week, too, with an ankle injury. He's ruled out. So that could mean a few more targets for Philip Lindsay. Zach Moss, toe injury, practice in full on Friday. So it looks like he's going to return to the lineup for the Bills. And then Mo'Ally Cox, I already said his time was basically over. He is ruled out. We'll get to Trey Burton in just a little bit. But he's somebody that's been trending up over the past couple weeks, running more routes, getting more targets, playing more snaps in Mo'Ally Cox and Jack Doyle. And we know how much Frank Reich and Philip Rivers loves the tight end position. So with that, let's get to some betting props that I like. I'm 63-51. I'm up 17 units. That's okay. It could be worse. Had a big week last week. I went 12-4 with my props and my picks, and I am 48-48. So 500 in props. It's not phenomenal, but that was a big week for me last week to get up to the 500 mark. And as I said before, I'm going to hold myself accountable. So I got a few props here that I'm going to share. I have several over at ftmbets.com. I'm not going to give them all away. Promo code MEANIE will get you the goods, get you a bit of a discount. And then, as I said, you know, if you want a screenshot and send that screenshot of you subscribing over to YouTube, I'm smiling because I said it 1,000 times, but I really just want that. MeanStreetsFTN@gmail.com. And then I'll be going to give away that FTN betting package. And, you know, yeah, I'm 17 units up. But I don't know if you guys have checked out the show To The Window. You need to check that out every Friday night with Elliot Chris and Noah Riddell and Ryan Noonan. Those guys combined are like up 100 units. And they're so sharp. My goodness. They just give phenomenal information. FTN Alerts is a Twitter account you need to follow. And Noonan does a great job. They all do a great job of this. But Noonan, I find, does a fantastic job of just finding value early. He bets it early. Like right now, Steelers and Titans are -3.5. Wouldn't you want -3? Wouldn't you want -3? He's got them both -3. That's where the line opens up. He sees value. He sees totals that he thinks are low or too high, and he jumps on it right away. And he's just does a great job of finding value. And if you follow that show, he'll explain some of that, some of his process, and they'll go through some bets that they like. But also, if you follow that Twitter account, FTN Alerts, you're going to get the best odds possible right away, right? And that's what I love if you follow that account and you see, oh, wow, Noonan just made a bet Monday or Tuesday, got to head over to see what he bet because he probably is finding value. And that's kind of what that show is all about, To the Window. Check it out. It's phenomenal stuff. So with that said, I got a few props for you. Let's start with Jamison Crowder. Jamison Crowder has a prop over at BetMGM. And again, if you use our free props tool over at betftmbets.com, you will see just the best odds possible. And BetMGM at minus 110 for the over 5.5 receptions for Jamison Crowder up against the Dolphins. Just not a lot going on with the Jets, right? They just traded Bell, and who's catching passes over there? And Crowder just has a plus matchup in the slot against Nick Needham. He's got four straight games with at least seven catches, second in target percentage in the entire NFL. Saw last year at the start of the season before Sammy Boy went down with mono. There was a connection there. He was really just throwing his way in the slot. And then towards the NFL, the later parts of the NFL season, he was targeting him again in the slot and especially inside the red zone. So I think that this one, I don't like to give locks out. Never going to do that. This one's a lock. But this one's pretty damn close to a lock. 5.5 catches. So I'm going to take the over there with Jamison Crowder. James Robinson here is the next one for me. There's a couple that I like here, as you see. And a shout out again to my guy, George, who they call Putts on social media. Look at this. It's just so sharp. I like that green too, that green Jaguar. But Jamison, why am I calling him Jamison? James Robinson, who is a fan of the show, by the way, and maybe not anymore. It's just, I've been disrespecting him, but I am taking the over on two props that I like. Over 3.5 catches. This is plus 120 DraftKings Sportsbook. He has 15 grabs on 17 targets in his past three games. As I mentioned, DJ Chark questionable. I don't think it matters if Chark plays or not, but if Chark doesn't play, you know, Robinson maybe just could get a couple more targets. And I know a lot of people were, oh, Chris Thompson back with Gruden and the Jags are going to suck and they're going to throw the ball to Thompson. We haven't really seen it. We saw it the one game against Miami where they were fighting from behind in the fourth quarter and in the late garbage time drive. It was a lot of Chris Thompson, but Robinson caught a lot of balls in that game too. And like I said, 15 catches over the last three games, 17 targets. He's been involved in the passing game. So I'm going to take the over 3.5 catches, plus 120 on DraftKings Sportsbook, and then minus 111 on DraftKings Sportsbook for the over 24.5 receiving yards. So I really like that if there's no DJ Chark. And I don't know if Chark's going to play. And even if he does, I don't think he's going to be 100%. And he has had some mediocre games. Like Gardner Minshew hasn't really been going to him all that much. I know he had the big game, but it was against the Bengals. So how much stock can you take into that? So James Robinson, not Jamison Robinson, James Robinson taking the overs there on those two. The next one here is David Montgomery. I got David Montgomery over 25.5 receiving yards. So you can get that at minus 115 at BetMGM. This was a big win for Montgomery owners because Le'Veon didn't go there, right? There were some reports that potentially he could go there. And I thought it would be a really good fit for Le'Veon to go and play with the Chicago Bears and Matt Nagy. I don't know if he'd be able to utilize him. And he's kind of reminded me a little bit of Adam Gase and the way that he's running his offense. But nonetheless, with Tariq Cohen out of the lineup over the past couple weeks, we've seen a lot of usage from David Montgomery through the air. 10 catches on 14 targets, 60 yards in his last two games without Tariq Cohen. Tariq Cohen, I think he left a couple weeks ago, so he played a little bit of that game 2 weeks ago, but even still, Montgomery was used through the passing game. And then this is just a really good matchup against the Carolina Panthers. They've allowed the second most catches and the third most yards to running backs so far this season. So I would go as high as 28.5. I think we could see about 30 receiving yards from David Montgomery. And over at FTMBets.com, we have a little notes section that will tell you that, hey, we like this prop, but we don't like it if it gets up to 30 yards, or we don't like it if it gets to minus 140, or we don't like it if it gets to minus 160. Just a couple news and notes because these props do change, especially when you hear news like somebody will be out of the lineup. Like if DJ Chark goes up, we'll probably see that prop total from James Robinson go up a little bit. So that's where you'll see those news and notes. Moving on, a couple more props that I like. Kenny Golladay, over 65.5 receiving yards. It's not the best of matchups, but Jacksonville has allowed the fourth most passing yards and the ninth most receiving yards to wide receivers. So I think that's good up until 70 yards. I think Kenny Golladay, you know, he's really just starting to get into his own. He missed the first couple games. He, you know, his first couple games back, he scored a touchdown in each of those games, getting some targets, and now coming off the bye week, I expect him to be fully rested and you know, fully recovered from that hamstring injury. Let's hope so. Minus 111 at DraftKings Sportsbook. And the last prop I'll give you is Mark Andrews, just to score a touchdown. He's plus 120 at PointsBet. You know, just looking at his game log, of course, you'll see the five TDs this year. But if you look back at last year, he has 13 touchdowns over his last 14 games. Pretty remarkable stuff. And the Eagles have just struggled against tight ends. George Kittle had a big game against them. Tyler Higbee found the end zone three times. He's been up five touchdowns to tight ends. Darius Slay will probably be on Marquise Brown. And that'll just leave, you know, a little bit of soft coverage for Mark Andrews. And Lamar Jackson, you know, he didn't run at all last week. No design runs. I don't think he's fully healthy with the knee injury. So he may just sit back and chuck a few times. So I think there's an advantage here to jump on Andrews and DFS and to get involved with him to score a touchdown, maybe take a shot, first time touchdown, but plus 120 for him to find the end zone. I think there's a little bit of value involved there. So that will bring me over to just a few picks that I have, a few games that I like, as if you're not a big prop player. I like Tennessee by 3.5. I like the Steelers by 3.5. I like the Packers by 1. And I like KC by 4.5. The Chiefs are coming off a loss. They're probably ticked off. Anytime that I can get the Chiefs this low, 4.5 points, I'm going to jump all over it every time. I just think the Titans are really good, and I don't buy into the Texans at all. And then the Steelers, it's... yeah, it could be a field goal game if you feel more comfortable on the money line. I you know, minus 180. I just feel like that they get the job done, and it'll probably be, the difference will probably be Big Ben, right? It's the better quarterback. Both defenses are really like. I have respect for both of their defenses, but I think that the Steelers just get it done with Big Ben under center. A couple totals that I like: Atlanta, Minnesota over 54, Cincinnati and Indy under 46. I'll get to why I like in Atlanta, Minnesota over in just a few minutes. But Cincy and Indy, I know they run a lot of plays, and Joe Burrow is second in passing attempts, and Joe Mixon is top three in terms of touches, and they are top five in plays, you know, per second. Or per snap, like they're one of the quickest teams, really. They're running a lot of plays at a high pace. And, you know, Zach Taylor is kind of incorporated that into the offense. But Indy runs at a bit of a slower pace. I don't expect Philip Rivers to drop back, you know, 40-plus times. They won't be playing from behind. They're going to, you know, run the ball and control the pace of clock with Jonathan Taylor and just lean on that offensive line. And then Miami and the Jets under 47. I just don't think the Jets will do their part. I think Miami can get to 30, but how many points will the Jets score? 10, 14, maybe 17. That'll probably be right at that number. I'm willing to lean with the under. The parlay that I have is a big one. It's a 5-game parlay. Baltimore, New England, Indy, Pittsburgh, Tennessee. That's plus 363 over at BetMGM. I know that's 5 games, but if you want to scale it back a little bit, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, New England, Green Bay. You can maybe swap one of those out for Miami, get plus 346. So a few picks. Good luck. Hopefully the winners are yours. And then let's go over to a couple DFS plays before we answer some questions and get out of here as you prepare for week 6 in the NFL. So I have a few plays here relating to the Sunday-Monday contest if you want to play there over on FanDuel. I'm going to hit you high in the midsection, which I know you don't want to be hit there, and then in the low section. So really just hitting you high and hitting you low. And then a little bit of a value that I like. So I'll start with Kyler Murray if you're playing over on FanDuel, $8,400. Even if you just get involved on DK. And Monday, we'll talk about Monday's games on Monday a little bit more in detail. Obviously, there's a few solid quarterback options. And Kyler Murray is tied with Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen in terms of FanDuel points per game at 27. All three quarterbacks just happen to be playing on Monday night. But I think Murray has the best matchup out of all of them. The Dallas Cowboys have allowed a league-high 36 points per game and 9 passing touchdowns. Murray just makes for a great cash game quarterback all the time. I mean, he ranks first at his position with 5 rushing touchdowns and 59 rushing yards per game. And if you look at the game log, there's a couple games where he had 1 passing touchdown, but he still ends up with over 20 fantasy points because of what he does in the ground. So averaging 59 rushing yards is like basically starting with a free touchdown. That's how I view it. You know, he's probably going to get anywhere from 40 to 50 rushing yards. So if he has a bad game where he only throws 1 touchdown, he's still going to provide a nice safe floor. And Josh Allen does that as well. Quarterbacks like maybe Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, if they have a dud game, they're going to give you single-digit fantasy points. You already saw Tom Brady have a bad game and you know, give you 8 fantasy points. If he was a running quarterback, he would give you double-digit fantasy points. He'd get to the 14, 15-point mark, and it doesn't seem as bad. So there's a solid floor there with Kyler Murray. If you're playing on DK and just the Sunday Millionaire Maker, Matt Ryan is my high quarterback, and he's going to be pretty chalky. I understand that. But at the same time, these quarterbacks, it doesn't really matter. You know, the ownership's going to probably hover around anywhere from 7 to 10%. You can still build unique lineups and having a quarterback that most people will have. But Matt Ryan playing the Vikings in the high total game, I already talked about the over that I like. The Vikings have allowed the fifth most passing yards, the third most plays of 20 yards or more, and then the third most plays of 40 yards or more through the air. So they've been giving up some huge plays. I know Matt Ryan has had a couple dud games lately, but he's got Julio back here, and this is a really nice game. I think it'll be a good game script for him to continue to chuck. And then sticking in that same game and in that mid-range, Kirk Cousins, as bad as the Vikings have been and their secondary, Atlanta's been just as bad. They've allowed the second most passing yards per game, 9 touchdowns, the most 20-yard passing plays, and the most fantasy points to quarterbacks. The Falcons have been an absolute mess. And then another mid-range quarterback where you can view him as a low-priced quarterback over on FanDuel is Ryan Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick is, this guy needs to be started in season leagues. He's QB6 on the year. Maybe you have Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, Drew Brees, Justin Herbert. Maybe you're looking for a quarterback. Fitz is QB6 on the season. He's always been a decent fantasy quarterback. I mean, a real life quarterback, maybe not so much. I like the fact that he calls his own number and he runs sometimes. And he's the passion that he has, I absolutely love that. You know, he throws some picks here and there, but you know, he scored at least 23 fantasy points in 4 straight games after totaling 8 fantasy points in week 1 against the New England Patriots. So that was a tough matchup for him, but ever since then, like 24, 25, 23, 27 fantasy points. Great matchup here against the Jets. They've allowed the fourth most passing plays of at least 20 yards, and they've allowed the fourth most passing plays passing yards, of all the teams on the slate. So there's a couple teams that have given up some big plays that are not playing this week. So with the Jets just allowing a lot of big plays and a lot of really just deep plays, more deep plays than any other team. So this is a really good spot here for Ryan Fitzpatrick and some of his weapons to get involved and to score some fantasy points for you. And then one more guy I'll quickly touch on is Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton's in that Monday game again, 7K on FanDuel. You know, there's some upside at least with this price. It's pretty cheap. I don't think that Dalton will have the same success as Dak Prescott. And I don't know if he'll chuck as much as Dak Prescott. Nobody had threw the football more than Dak Prescott through 5 weeks. He only had 11 passing attempts filling in for Dak last week, but he completed 9 of the 11 for 111 yards. I think Dallas will probably, you know, want to slow the pace down a little bit more, run the football with Zeke, but their defense is not going to get any better. It's awful. It's absolutely brutal. So Dalton will still, you know, have to probably throw the ball at least 30 times. So as much as they probably want to lean on Zeke, they'll have to throw the football with Andy Dalton. So I think there's a value. He probably will be a bit chalky, but I think, you know, he's a decent play this week with, you know, 3 really solid quarterbacks going. So I think you could be a little bit different and save yourself some cash by rolling with Andy Dalton. I know it's a primetime game and he's not very good in those. It is what it is, Andy. Hopefully he can, you know, this is why Dallas brought him in, right? They didn't expect Dak to get hurt, but in case Dak got hurt, a veteran quarterback who can still spread the ball around, and there's a lot of options in that offense. So I hit you high at the running back position here with Derrick Henry, and the Houston Texans have allowed the 6th most fantasy points to running backs, the 2nd most rushing yards, and a league-high 8 runs of at least 20 yards. They also rank inside the top 10 in yards allowed per rushing attempt. So we could see a few more amazing stiff arms and a few more big chunk plays against that secondary and just get into that second zone after you get past J.J. Watt. They've been just giving up a lot of plays, the Texans. Jonathan Taylor is probably going to be a pretty chalky play, but I like him. He's right in around that mid-range price point. Again, I expect them to, you know, slow the pace down, run the football, lean on that great offensive line. And I know the fantasy community has been very disappointed with Jonathan Taylor lately, but it's mostly just the usage, I think. He'd probably get back up into that 15 touch, at least 15 carry range. I know he was held to 13 or fewer carries in 2 of his last 3 games, but I think this is a pretty good spot for him as the Bengals have allowed 8 runs of 20 plus yards 5.2 yards per attempt. And then James Robinson, I already gave you all the reasons why I liked him this week, but the Detroit Lions have coughed up a league-high 170 rushing yards per game and the third most yards per attempt at 5.2, and also the fourth most fantasy points per game. And for Robinson, at least 17 opportunities, carries, and targets in every game this season. I also like David Montgomery against Carolina, as I mentioned with the props, but 5.4 yards per attempt, which is the second highest mark, and then a league-high 36 fantasy points to running backs. In around that price point, Freeman, Lindsay with no Gordon, you can get there as well. I do like Zeke, Alexander Mattison, and Todd Gurley. I think you should fade maybe Miles Sanders and Joe Mixon. I don't really like their matchups. Over at the wide receiver position, probably my favorite, and I think this guy's going to be pretty chalky as well, and you know a lot of people will be on him, Adam Thielen. 17 receptions and 23 targets in his last two games. He's found the end zone three times over that span. Also like Julio Jones there. I think people will be afraid to play Julio, and he's priced down a little bit in a high total game. In around that mid-range price point, Kenny Golladay, Jameson Crowder, Juju Smith-Schuster. I'll say this about Juju, and this is from Elliot Crist. Now, I do know this, so I'm not completely stealing this, but Elliot has a couple great articles, and one article that I love is just like some plays at under 10% own. And I think, you know, after last week, and it wasn't just me who was on Juju, but a lot of people were on Juju, and he didn't show up. It was Chase Claypool, right? So Chase Claypool is cheap this week. People will go to him. I typically try to avoid those players who had big games, and I like to go after players in DFS that didn't have good games and that are in decent spots. And the Browns so far in 2020, this is right from Elliott's article. The Browns have given up 10 slot targets per game, 106 yards, and a full touchdown per game. And they've given up more TDs in the slot than any other team in football this season. And they're also allowing the most fantasy points to the slot position. That Elliott Crist is his. He's a bright, bright guy. And he's on to something. And Juju is one of my favorite plays for those reasons and other reasons that I talked about that I feel like we'll get him with a lower ownership. So Juju is interesting to me in that mid-range price point. And then the low price point, Claypool is there. I'm not saying to completely fade him, but just don't go all in with Claypool. Preston Williams, because I mentioned the Jets. And then Chenault, at least 5 receptions in 3 straight games, 20 targets over that span as well. And I'm not sure the usage from DJ Chark or if he's going to be active. Mark Andrews, already talked about him. Great matchup. Evan Ingram, talked about him in episode 1. Another great matchup this week against Washington. Like the Eagles, they've given up 5 touchdowns to tight ends. Ingram is just a buy low right now. He's got Washington twice and Philly twice over the next 4 weeks. Those are like as good as it gets really for matchups to the tight end position. And then Trey Burton, kind of touched on him a little bit earlier, but trending up, getting more snaps, more targets than Jack Doyle, starting to get incorporated into this offense, is very familiar with Frank Reich, having been there in Philadelphia and running the Philly special together, and really just no more Ali Cox. So we could get a couple red zone targets from Trey Burton, where some of those may have gone to Mo Ali Cox. Defenses I would roll with. I don't usually like to spend up at the defense position, but Baltimore, if you can get there. I like Atlanta and Minnesota. I just think it's going to be a lot of chucking. I know a lot of points are going to be scored, but we could see some turnovers. And then the Giants and Washington. I'd probably lean Washington more than the Giants, but Daniel Jones is prone to turn the ball over, fumble the football, and Washington, they have a few players who can really get after you at the quarterback position. So those are a few DFS plays that I like. On the way out, I'll give just a couple questions and I'll head over to just the YouTube channel. And again, one more time, subscribe. Geez, already up close to 100 subscribers. I like that. Subscribe and then send that screenshot over to meanstreets@ftn. Honestly, that'd just be a huge help and I just really appreciate it. So as we move over, we'll get some questions here from the very first episode. I'll just kind of roll down them and I'll start up at the top here with Zane. He says, "Hey, Chris, is it possible for me to get your input on Will Fuller? He's been having a pretty good season, but word on the mean streets is you're not a huge fan of his. Why?" It's kind of a little bit of both. I am a huge fan. I want to see him be successful, and I see the skill set. I just stay away from him in season-long leagues because he has burned me before in the past. He's never had a full season on his resume. That's not to say that he can't, but you just get the highs and the lows, and I just have a problem drafting him from where he goes. Like, I just don't want him to be my wide receiver too if he's going to put up a donut sometimes. I just typically like to draft wideouts with a safe floor. Yes, I like to shoot for some upside. It's okay to have a Fuller on your team Sammy Watkins, Brandon Cooks. You just want to have some safe floor guys there as well. So no disrespect to Will Fuller, even though I have been taking some shots at him over the past, you know, couple weeks, couple years, if you've been following my work, Zane. I think Fuller is ultimately, he's fine. I mean, 402 air yards is number one on his team, 13.4 ADOT, number one on his team, 24% target share, and 34% of his team's air yards. Those are all like elite numbers. Those are all top notch. You know, he's a guy that I like to play in DFS, is like a very boom or bust guy. I think maybe he goes under the radar this week with Brandon Cooks having that big week. So Fuller is, you know, 15 points in every single game that he's played beside that zero game and then the 200-yard game. I like Fuller. He's fine. He's just, I just typically stay away from those boom or bust guys. But yeah, I mean, 11 games, 7 games, 10 games, it's probably the reason that I'm a little bit down on him. I just haven't seen that full game. But good on you, Zane, for having him and smashing me in a fantasy league. I do know Zane and I know where he's coming from there. He smashed me in a fantasy league with Fuller on his team. So he got the better of me there. We got a question here from Mike Omelon. Thoughts on Preston Williams, hold, or does he need to get him into his flex position, or does he just drop him altogether? I think that he's definitely a hold, and, you know, I think you can get by with playing him this weekend, Omelon, in a flex spot. The Jets are brutal at covering the deep ball, the worst in the league, so this is a good spot. He was more involved last week. And as I said in episode one, I just feel like it was too early to write him off after 4 weeks. He had suffered the significant knee injury, didn't know if he was even going to be ready to play week one. In the first nine weeks of his NFL career, he led all rookies in catches and yards and targets. He was looking like he was going to be an absolute beast. And you saw in week one, it was Stephon Gilmore on him. In week two, it was White on him. So he gets the respect. It's not Parker who gets more targets and, you know, probably is a little bit more skilled and has certainly showed more upside than Preston Williams. But the fact that, you know, Bill Belichick is willing to put his top corner on Preston Williams shows me that he has a lot of respect for Preston Williams. So maybe last week was a sign of things to come. You know, can take some shots with them in the red zone and take some shots with them deep down the field. He's a big body wide receiver and he's got great hands. So maybe he just took him some time to, you know, get some reps in, again, coming back from that knee injury. So I think, Mike, you have yourself a good one there in Preston Williams. We have another question here from Drew Livingstone. What the hell do I do with T.Y. Hilton? Would you trade him for J.D. McKissic? Or do you think Noodle Arm Rivers starts throwing him the ball more? I don't think so. I don't know if I would trade him for McKissic. If you needed help at the running back position, you were in a full point PPR league, and then T.Y. Hilton weren't even starting T.Y., then yeah, maybe I would. Maybe I would make that deal. It seems like a loss right now because T.Y. is a guy that was drafted as a wide receiver 2 or a wide receiver 3, and then J.D. McKissic was somebody that you probably just, you know, you saw someone pluck him off the waiver wire. It does seem like a loss, but you know, sometimes you just have to cut your losses. You can just get trapped by holding on to a player too long and name value and knowing what T.Y. has done in the past. But he hasn't had a 100-yard game since Andy Luck was his quarterback. And, you know, we saw the downtick last season in terms of yards per catch and ADOT. And, you know, we just made excuses that it was Jacoby Brissett's fault. And, you know, you bring in Phillip Rivers. But Rivers doesn't have that deep ball. I agree. He's got a bit of a noodle arm. And as I said earlier in this show, they like to run at a slower pace. Slow the clock down, run the football with the offensive line, and they throw to tight ends. So, you know, maybe T.Y. has himself a good game and, you know, you flip him. I think maybe this was the opportunity. If there's always somebody in your league that really likes T.Y. Hilton. There always is. Always. And for T.Y., I don't know if this is the game this week against William Jackson. But if it is and he has himself a good game, maybe you can flip him. But I know they got the bye week coming on. I think you're probably just stuck, Drew, with T.Y., but I would make that move for J.D. McKissic if you're fine at the wide receiver position and you need some help at the running back position. Next question is from Joseph Cabral. Hopefully I pronounced that name right. Nobody knows how to pronounce mine, so maybe we're in the same situation, Joseph. I'm frustrated with Ruggs. What do I do with him? You know, decent game last week. If you really are frustrated, maybe it's a time to sell him, but I would keep him. I know he's probably going to be a little bit inconsistent. He may be, you know, not as great as Fuller, but kind of similar to him as a guy who is going to be targeted down the field, may give you a couple zeros, may give you a couple, 3 or 4 points, but may also just win you a week with his upside alone. I was looking deeper into his numbers with the question. 11 targets, 6 receptions, 237 air yards, a 21.5 ADOT average depth of target, 37% of his team's air yards, and 12% target share. Those all lead his team. You know, Derek, among wide receivers, mind you, because I know target share is a whole lot of Darren Waller, and percent of his air yards really goes to Waller too. But, you know, Derek Carr does do a great job spreading the football around. He's very accurate. And, you know, if you watch that game against the Chiefs, I thought he had a hell of a game moving the ball around to all of his weapons, calling, you know, audibles at the line of scrimmage, taking some shots down the field with Henry Ruggs. So I look at some of these numbers like ADOT. That's a less than elite number. Like Mike Williams, 17.5 ADOT is the highest of anyone with 20 targets. He's always going to be near the top. And what a heck of a game he had Monday against, you know, against the Saints, Justin Herbert. Like, make sure you check if he's on the waiver wire, because his ownership is fewer than 50% in Yahoo leagues. I like to have a wide receiver like that who could maybe to blow up. And I know maybe I'm contradicting myself a little bit with Fuller and talking about Cooks, but if you have some safe floor guys there, Joseph, I think you can get by with maybe playing a Ruggs and a flex. But if you have like a Brandon Cooks and a Ruggs and a Fuller, that's where you can really get yourself into trouble. You want to have some safe floor guys there. And what I mean by that is guys that are just going to get some targets, like a Jameson Crowder or Allen Robinson. Guys that you know week in and week out are going to get theirs. So if they do have that zero, you're going to be fine. And if they have that big blow-up game like Ruggs had last week, then, you know, you're probably going to win yourself a week. So if you're feeling like you don't want to go through the ups and the downs, and there will be some ups and downs with Henry Ruggs, because I do think they're a run-first football team, then you can sell high now. But if you want to get in, and now is a hard time, right, with the buy. But if you want to just see with the upside, because it's there, I don't view him as a wide receiver 3. I mean, view him more as a flex play, as a top 40 wide receiver. There's going to be some good games that you can, you know, you can hold on if you want to. Hopefully that helped clear things up just a little bit. I know it could be certainly frustrating from where you drafted him and he just has the big one game and he's been dealing with an injury. I've got another question here from Jordan Allen. PTP Jordan Allen, what do you do here with MVS? I'm not a big fan of MVS. You see the ADOT is 17, pretty significant. 38% of his team's air yards, 430, but got to remember Devontae Adams has missed some times and Adams is coming back. Aaron Rodgers throws to a couple of people, Adams and Aaron Jones and out of the backfield, you know, Jamal Williams and both of those backs we saw last time that they played, it was just getting all of the love. And then Robert Tonyan is starting to trend up and it looks like he's going to be a red zone target for Aaron Rodgers. I'm not a big fan of MVS. You know, these are some of the wide receivers I'd rather have over him. Sanders, Cooks, Higgins, Hardman, Claypool, Ruggs, Williams, Chenault, Kirk, Fulgham, Preston Williams. The other one was Mike Williams, Randall Cobb, Tim Patrick. I mean, we're not going to get Cortland Sutton the rest of the year. KJ Hamler has been nicked up. Denver's they're not great defensively. Tim Patrick he showed me a lot the last time the Broncos played. He had some nice footwork, some nice hands. So I think Patrick is a guy that I'd rather have than MVS. I think you need to find yourself another option there, Jordan Allen. Got another one here from Deanna. Everyone that knows me knows who this question is from, but she has DeSean Jackson, and she's wondering if she should hold DeSean Jackson with all the injuries. He had a first couple decent games in terms of air yards, and he is still among the leaders in air yards and target share and, you know, ADOT in a limited sample. Or should you pick up Christian Kirk? You know, I like Christian Kirk. If you've watched the show, I think you should go pick up Kirk. I just think there's slightly more upside with Kirk, and now Jackson is out again. The schedule does turn for the better. I'll say this, and I have seen your roster before, it looks like you're fine at the wide receiver position. You don't have to be starting Jackson, and even if he was healthy, you probably wouldn't start him this week. I think you can afford to hold on for, you know, a couple more weeks with the Giants and Dallas coming up on the schedule. Maybe he can get on the field, and that's a guy that I would rather start than Kirk if he was healthy. But if you needed to play this week, Christian Kirk is the answer. That'll do it. That'll do it for all the questions. All right. Thank you so much. Hopefully you got something again away from this episode. I will do a better job of trying to keep this into the 30-minute range. Maybe if you like this range, don't be afraid to provide the feedback. And please, if you just rate, review, subscribe to all the platforms, or I'll just take a subscription over at our YouTube page, screenshot that, and send it on over to meanstreetsftn@gmail.com. You can use my promo code Meanie and just get involved with over at FTN. I will give a shout out just to a couple shows, FTN Primetime, which happens on Friday with Pat Mayo, and then he has Javi and Murray and Jones and Debro. He's a bit of a rotation. David Jones and Kyle Murray and Javi Prezzella will sometimes jump on, you know, FTN Primetime on Thursday or FTN Primetime on Sunday, just kind of help you get you set. Even if you're not a big DFS player, help you set your lineups. Those guys are all sharp minds. They've had a lot of success playing fantasy football. They'll give you an idea of who to play, who not to play, and how to construct a lineup. Those are a few shows that I highly recommend. And I also mentioned the To The Window show, but I wanted to give that some love again. Friday evenings with Elliot, Ryan, and Noah. The Fantasy Happy Hour, of course, you probably know that by now, but Brad, Elliot, and Jeff, what a trio. My goodness, that's on Thursday, gets you set for Thursday Night Football. And then just a few articles that, you know, I've really just some of my favorite articles over at FTN that, my goodness, there's one from Kevin Adams, like the mega breakdown. And he had one that was free this week. I believe it was on the Bucks and the Packers. So just to give you a taste, like the breakdown of the Bucks and the Packers, go check that out at FTNDaily.com. It is one of the most detailed pieces I've ever written. Or ever written, geez, can't even take credit for that. My bad, Kevin. That I've ever read. So much detail there. And if you read that, you'll get a feel for his big mega breakdown where he just touches every single game. He dives into pace, play calling, players he likes, players he doesn't. He throws in like little, like, you know, underrated DFS plays in there. You will get so much from that article. I'm telling you right now, if you don't play fantasy sports, even just reading that, you will just be blown away. If you're a big football fan, you will love it. So check that out, the breakdown. Between the Numbers, Kyle Murray has a phenomenal article where he just gives projections and DFS. Two Gun, his core DFS plays, just to get inside the mindset of a guy who has not won three millionaire makers. Unbelievable stuff from Michael Cohen. Two Gun FF is where you can follow him on Twitter, just to get his mindset of who he's feeling. And he's never feeling chalk. He's kind of like, it's like under the radar, and not just like, oh, you know, I like this guy because no one's going to be on him as he's in a tough spot. He has reasoning for his plays. It's phenomenal stuff. Elliot Chris, the two, he does several, you know, a matchup breakdown article where he really dissects great matchups. But two of my favorite, the DFS cash game lock. So if you're just new to DFS and you're playing smaller contests, which I recommend, whether it's double ups, just 10 people, 20 people, or a head-to-head, he has a few just locks, like cash game locks of guys that you need to get in your lineup. And not the obvious, most expensive plays too. He finds value. And then 10 just plays that are under 10% owned. So a couple plays that are just going to go under the radar. So those are a few articles that I like. And of course, there's several more. We have Javi's absolute must DFS locks that he has. We have the O-line and D-line, just taking a look at some of the matchups. Who has a good matchup, offensive line, defensive line, who doesn't? That's from Debro, and he does a weekly pace of play as well. And then, of course, we have our head honcho guys, like the best and worst cornerback matchups from Jeff Ratcliffe, and then Brad Evans as well, just breaking down some of his props that he likes and some of the underrated plays that he likes as well. That'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much. Week six is already here. Hopefully you have a lot of success. You want to reach out at Chris Meanie. If you want to get a subscription over at FCN, use the promo code Meanie. Thanks so much for watching. We'll talk to you soon. Cheers.